And a good afternoon to all of our XRP Army News followers, and welcome to the XRP Army News podcast for today. We, as you know, call on all the very influential people in the XRP world, and for lack of a better term, we just call them our influencers because that's what they are. We all learn from them. We all watch them on a regular basis, and some of us have our favorites, and some of us go through the entire realm. And of course, you can do that on the XRP Army News. You can see every one of your influencers right on that site and just pick which one you want to watch. And the latest video is right at the top, or the latest tweet. And that tweet stream is live and in real time. So come over and check it out in that regard. Today's guest is James Malpass. Now, James is one of the unique influencers because he pretty much just kind of keeps it down, keeps it right on, keeps it in line with what the truth is, and doesn't try to mess around with it at all. So without me trying to brag on him, which I'm really not probably capable of anyway because of his stature, I'm going to bring James on and introduce him to you right now. There we go. I thought we had you. Seems like I'm having trouble just like I did with the microphone earlier, James. What can I do, right?
It's all
today,
good.
Today's the Stronger Ride. Welcome, James, to the podcast today.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and give my story and have a nice conversation with you today, and I really look forward to it. I definitely appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you so much. I'm surprised, though, this being even Tuesday, that you're well enough and have voice enough to talk with us since the Alabama-Auburn game on Saturday. I know that you probably lost your voice or lost your sanity there at the end of that game. Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it a lot. Most of my talking was smack talking through Twitter, so I didn't have the opportunity to really lose my voice during it. But definitely enjoyed the game. I'm glad Auburn pulled it out. War Eagle, always a good time to see them roll over Alabama. Favorite expression I love to say is roll, cheers, roll.
Roll, cheers, roll. And did you tell me just before we came on that maybe there was a little wager involved there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There is a secret chat room on Twitter that is you go in, and we don't call it bets. You go in and you make a claim. You can claim, like during this game, I claimed that Auburn was going to beat Alabama for 200 XRP. Then somebody will come along and say, okay, I support that claim. I put 200 XRP saying Alabama's going to beat Auburn. And then we went that direction and ended up winning some XRP throughout the deal of it. So it was pretty good.
But it was so close. So
it
close.
Was.
I don't know anything about your family. You have a family, James? Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
I do. I'm a father of four. Been married for over 20 years. And I have a 18-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old son. I have a 9-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. I actually have my 6-year-old daughter. She's standing beside me right here, wanting to get on the screen like no other. You want to say hey?
Sure. Say hi. You bet.
You want to say hey? Okay. She's going to be shy now that I called her out.
Okay.
But, yes, I definitely have a family. My wife is the youth director at our church. She does a ton of stuff with the church, and we just have a really good time. I've been taking some time off of work. I had some health issues come up, and I'm just taking some time off of work. We're going back the beginning of the year. We're going to go back and try to kick it in high gear and get things going forward. We've been blessed, man. We've been really blessed. We was able to save up a lot of money so where time off didn't hurt me at all. It actually benefited me a lot mentally and physically to go ahead and take the time off and get well, get better. And just trying to push forward in a positive manner and teach my family the value of getting up and going out and earning.
Yeah, the question, the old Japanese term, I think it's called ikigawa, and that it means the reason I get up in the morning, and everybody has to have a why to get up in the morning. And it sounds like you and your family have that.
But, absolutely.
With all your family and your work and everything else, how in the world did you get involved in the crypto space and become an influencer in that space? What happened here?
So I actually got involved in it through my work. There were some guys at work, some tech guys that were interested in the space. They started bringing it up and they started talking about different projects. I didn't know about XRP for a while when I first got in. I was working for a company called the Stellar Group. So when I started looking through at all of the different cryptocurrencies, I saw Stellar. So I ended up going on and making a purchase for Stellar, and just really and truly started researching everything. And then we heard this, well, everybody's saying XRP is going to have this run. And this was middle 2017, when we all got invested into it, and probably towards the beginning of November of 2017, I actually ended up getting into XRP and riding it up as it went to where it was going to go. And as far as becoming an influencer in the space, I really and truly, I love the Twitter community. I love the online community that the XRP community has. And there was a post bashing about how bad the XRP community was. And I actually went live on Twitter, and CKJ Crypto News actually ended up calling me Malpass from the office as I'm sitting there doing that on Twitter Live. I ended up actually getting some people in there to watch that, and people were saying, well, you need to do more. You need to do more. They said, oh, you talk good. You need to do more. I said, well, I'm this Georgia boy. I got this twang. There's no way I talk good. I said, but I'll do a couple of more and see how it goes. And then as that was progressing forward, just really having a good time with it, myself, Kickboy Triple, and 1000 Bones, we all got together and we started what is called the XRP Zoo. It started out as just a chat room. We had a bunch of the guys in there that was actually involved in the chats of the live streams of the other influencers. And then once we're in there, as a joke, I was like, you know, guys, we should just go ahead and put this on YouTube. As we joked about it, myself and Kickboys Triple decided to go ahead and make that a reality. Bones did not want to do it at first. We sort of forced Bones into going into it with us, but we wanted a different style channel. There was plenty of news going on throughout the community. There was a lot of influencers at the time. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to highlight the community. So we started bringing in guests, and what we were doing was just constantly do interviews for the guest. We would do them twice a week, bring on people. And it turned out to be that probably our first 10 to 12 guests were all XRP influencers, whether it be Mr. Jungle Inc., whether it be the Kung Fu Nerd, CKJ. We had King Blue at one point in time coming on talking about St. Jude. We just had a lot of different people coming on. And next thing we know, it just sort of caught fire that we were known for the guys that was for the community, by the community. And we just wanted to highlight the community. So it really started taking off going forward. I'm not going to say that it blew up as large as other channels. We ended up getting somewhere upwards of over 2,000 subscribers to the channel. But the good thing about it was 2,000 subscribers from the XRP community that really and truly just wanted to get to know the XRP community. So it really went well with what we were trying to do. I ended up hooking up with the Good Souls group. Once I was inside of the Good Souls group, we ended up collaborating with some other guys, wondering where. We started doing some videos on the charities, introducing the charities to the XRP community. And it just loads of fun, lots of fun. But it got to the point to where Kickboy Triple actually has a music career and an acting career also. 1000 Bones, he is busy trying to work and provide for a family also. So our stream times really got cut down. So we brought in some extra what we were calling zookeepers. And that would have ended up being Extra Hardcore XRP. A lot of people know Extra Hardcore XRP from the community because he does some amazing graphics work, whether it be for logos, banners for your Twitter accounts, or overlays for your YouTube channel, intros for your YouTube channel. He did a lot of things like that for the community, and just a really all around great guy. So we ended up bringing him in to help us out. He ended up having to leave home to go to work for a little while. And once that happened, we ended up bringing in another gentleman that was already an active XRP influencer, which was by the name of Mr. Rob Cash. I'm pretty sure that most everybody knows Mr. Rob Cash. He is actually a zookeeper as well. So we did a couple of streams with Rob, doing interviews with people in the community, and things started picking up really well. And it just got to the point where everybody was just so sporadic that we weren't really getting enough content out. So we wasn't growing as rapidly as we wanted to. So I made the decision that I wanted to go ahead and start my own channel. Now that I have my own channel, I've had it for just a couple of weeks, little over 1,000 subscribers. I want to say 1.1, 1.2 thousand subscribers, something like that. Very, very small channel. Just growing up in the space, but for 2 weeks of a channel, I feel like that's quite a growth. That's doing very well. The only person I've seen that's grown faster than that is probably Mr. B. Mr. B doesn't have a whole lot of videos out, but just that name from going to Swell and his active participation inside of Twitter and his community. He is an amazing guy that his channel just blew up overnight. I mean, over 4,000 subscribers with just a few videos out. He's just an amazing, amazing guy. But I mean, as far as my own channel, I'm just going to take it day by day. Don't know exactly how far the channel is going to go, but we're definitely excited about the growth that we have seen so far. And I'm just going to keep pushing forward and making it happen.
Well, that's you got into all kinds of spaces along the way.
Yes, and, I've been all over this community. Yes, sir.
And your intention for your original one was, you know, serving the community for the community. And that's exactly the reason we started XRP News, Army News. We're doing it for the community. I mean, it's not a whole lot to be made here money-wise. We're putting it together and we're hosting it. And we're just trying to give the community a little extra boost on how to get the places they want to get to. That's all.
But I will say, if there's somebody out there that wants to do things like what you're doing now and what I do, I promise you, the only thing you have to do is just jump right in. The XRP community is so supportive to every single person. I mean, it just blows me away, the support that the community gives.
Yeah, I agree. We've had a tremendous response. But I'm not here to talk about XRP Army News. I'm here to talk about James Malpass. So we'll pass on that. I'll do my ads later on. Okay, James?
Yes, sir.
Let's move over to XRP. And right now, what do you think is, let's talk about Ripple for just a minute. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're doing right now that will have the largest impact over the next 30 to 90 days? What do you think? What are they into right now that you think will have the most impact?
I think the next 30 to 90 days, we're probably going to be looking at impacts more so with MoneyGram, with this with them doing the final buyout for the remainder of the 20 million, getting their 10% stake in the stock. I think that is going to incentivize not only MoneyGram, but it's going to also push Ripple to work a little harder, get a couple of things done so we can get some more of these corridors open. I think right now, what is there, 4 corridors open and they're wanting 10 open. So I think the next 30 to 90 days, I think we're going to see a hard push with trying to get some money to transfer. I know that MoneyGram really made the phone call and said, look, you got to get off the pot. We need to go ahead and get this thing going. We need to open this thing on up wide open. And I think that's why we saw the extra 20 million come down so soon. And I think that is also probably going to be a main focus for Ripple, is trying to get the scalability to where it needs to be to open up these corridors and actually make an impact.
The slowdown basically has all been all about liquidity, hasn't it, along the way? And why is that such a big factor?
Liquidity is a huge factor for for just the main reason of it takes liquidity to move the money. Right now, you have the Nostro Vostro accounts that are storing trillions of dollars. So you have to replace that Nostro Vostro and the money that is sitting dormant in these accounts. You need to replace that, and it's going to take liquidity to actually make that happen. You need to get enough XRP out there to where Bank A has enough XRP to transaction with Bank B. And the more we get it spread out, the more we get everybody getting their hands in the pot, the more liquidity we're going to have. And liquidity is what's going to make it move. So absolutely, liquidity is the big part of it. But also what's going to be a huge part of it is going to be the scalability. I always venture right back. Everybody wants to talk about the liquidity, but I venture right back into scalability, and interoperability and sustainability, because those three key aspects right there is what really and truly is going to make the whole market move when it comes to cryptocurrency. You have to have those aspects. You have to be able to scale. And the scaling is not just how many transactions per second you have, but you also have to scale the data. You have to move the data, and it has to scale down, and it has to move with everything else. Interoperability, because everything has to communicate. Sustainability, because it needs to be strong enough to make it from one end to the other without falling apart before it gets there. So once we get all three of those aspects into it, I really and truly I think that that's when you're going to end up getting your profitability. Once we get scalability, interoperability, sustainability, profitability, that's my timeline.
Well, as far as the U.S. is concerned, you know, we've got some regulation hurdles to jump over that are coming at us pretty quickly. But I think they're already working on it. When you see, I think they had some Ripple open an office in D.C., and I think they've apparently had a number of meetings with the Fed already and things like that. It seems like they're starting to already work on the legalities of it all. Is that what you see?
I see they've been working on that for a while. They're definitely trying to get as much knowledge out there as they can, working with different entities of the government. But what's exciting to me is actually seeing the states that are opening up, starting these blockchain initiatives to actually see whether or not it's going to work on a state level before we actually go into a federal level. I mean, they're just taking baby steps with it. I understand exactly why they have to take baby steps with it. They can't just jump right into this thing and think that there's not going to be any kind of heartburn, any kind of headaches when something goes wrong. It's technology. Things go wrong. I mean, just like when we started the stream, I mean, you couldn't get the volume working. Technology, things happen. So they want to make sure that this thing is clicking and make sure that all the bugs are worked out. And I get that. 100%, I get that. There's a lot of people that don't have the patience to just sit back and just wait and relax and let this thing play out like it's going to play out. But I just pray. I pray that they learn some patience and understand the opportunity that they have before them before they just give up and run the other direction.
Yeah, well, you need to be in for the long haul. That's for sure. And not look back over your shoulder. I laughed the other day. I was speaking with who was I talking? I can't remember who it was. I think it was Cryptopolis. But I said, you know, I don't really look at the numbers, but maybe once or twice, once a week, maybe, or something like that. He says, my gosh, man, you're not a serious crypto person, because I look at it 37 times a day.
I've looked at it four times since we started.
And now, in the U.S., a couple of things are happening. You know, Fidelity has just set up a new Fidelity digital assets area. And Bank of America has actually XRP in some of their bank literature already. So, you know, these guys seem to be moving forward. What signs are you seeing in the U.S. right now? What signs are you seeing?
I think that the U.S. is lagging behind. I mean, realistically, you're seeing signs more so all over the rest of the world. I know that Wyoming just passed a bill, or they just put a bill out to get reviewed. That's going to be doing some great things with blockchain in the state of Wyoming. But when you start looking at what other places are doing, I mean, even if you go as far as looking at what India is doing, India has really and truly embraced blockchain technology. Not so much the cryptocurrencies, but the blockchain technology And I'm a firm believer that once we get all these people learning blockchain technology, once we get them actually knowing what it is, how it can actually improve their system, how it makes things better for them, they're going to start implementing the blockchain. And once they start implementing the blockchain, that's when we're going to start seeing more uses of the cryptocurrency. Because like I was telling everybody on my show, we can't have just one winner in this space. We're going to have multiple winners in this space. But what we're not going to have is we're not going to have everybody getting a participation trophy. The better projects, the ones that solve real use case issues, then I think we're going to see those move to the front of the line. But I mean, as far as what we're seeing in other parts of the world, I wish that we could see the United States making them same steps forward, because as of right now, we're lagging way behind when it comes to other countries in the world.
Yeah, in fact, even the IMF is really starting to take a hard look. And the most recent person that they elevated to the top position apparently is a huge crypto fan. That's what I heard. What about you?
They're putting people in strategic places all over the place. I mean, not just in the IMF, but in the World Bank also with David Malpass. And you also start looking in to where Christine Lagarde is going and what she's actually trying to do in her new role. And they're really putting strategic people in places. And I think that when we start to move into 2020, that we're really going to see a big culture shift when we move into this new decade. I know that German banks are going to be able to become crypto exchanges come January 1st. And I think that that's just going to be one small piece of the puzzle. I think that come January 1st, I think blockchain and digital assets are going to have a whole new outlook across the globe compared to what they have right now.
What about this Santander Bank? They seem to be making a big play for it right now.
Santander is a huge player in the space. They try to throw hurdles at you. I put a video out. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I put a video out that was specifically Santander at a conference talking about what they're doing. And they talked about how the Libra project, because Facebook was in the crowd, they talked about how the Libra project really kickstarted everything off to where we're really allowed to really open up and start talking about what's going on behind the scenes with everything. Santander started off with Xcurrent looking at transferring money, but now we're seeing more and more talks of moving towards ODL. But also I'm really and truly thinking that we're going to see the smart contract side of Ripple come into play when it comes to Santander as well. They've been doing some stuff with Ethereum on the smart contract side, doing some things with some stocks, but also with those stocks with Ethereum, we're also actually seeing the rebranding of Ethereum going from a proof of work to a proof of stake algorithm, and they're running into issues. And I think that they're going to go back with the leading horse and where they can get their reliability. And Ripple has been at the forefront of reliability for everybody in the space. And I really and truly see them backing up and putting them smart contracts in Ripple's lap or putting them across the XRP ledger just like you can any other time. But like I say, Santander is a huge player in this space. They do money transmissions all over the globe, and just really excited to see where that goes also.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't like carrying them forward if there's any nonsense to it at all. But, you know, start talking about the global world economy. Mm-hmm. And what's happening with, let's say, interest rates. I mean, it's no conspiracy theory. We know that they're at the very lowest, and corporate debt is at a maximum. It's never been higher in corporate debt because they can borrow money for 0% or 1% and buy their stock back. And so what? They've got debt. They don't care. But boy, does that counterbalance everything else. Do you think that going to 0% or even minus percent, is that going to push forward the crypto area, or is it going to hold it back?
I would think that it's going to have to push it forward quickly. Just for the fact that if they don't do something to fix the financial structure of the world quickly, we're going to be in worse shape than the Cold War. And I can see that being a huge possibility in the next 12, 24 months, the way things are moving so rapidly. So they really need to, and I think they see it also. And I think that's the reason there's been such a huge push to try to move cryptocurrency to the forefront of things. But they really need to try to figure out this regulation and try to get it put into place before it does do something very bad. I'm a huge fan of Sam I Am. I don't know if you've ever watched Sam's channels.
I love Sam. I do. Yeah.
But when he starts talking about global recession on a global front and the impacts that it would have to so many people, even people here in the United States, that's a scary scenario that I really and truly I don't want for my family. So what I would like to see is really and truly for the CBDCs to go ahead. They've been testing them for 3.5 years. They've been looking at them. They need to go ahead and start trying to figure this out to figure out how they're going to fix the economy, because it's getting worse and worse every day. The global debt is larger than it's ever been. And if we don't figure it out pretty quick, then I think that we're going to all be in some trouble.
Well, I certainly agree. And I look at the various reports, for example, the repo area that in shoring up the banks here in the U.S., basically, I think the last one was $90 billion a day, and they continue to carry it forward through first quarter of 2020. I mean, that's not sustainable to me. How can that happen? You can't you print so much money before you have super deflation or super whatever. It's going to be super, super bad. I know that.
And all they're doing with the repo, all they're doing is protecting Nostro Vostro accounts. So why not just go ahead and get rid of them? Why not go ahead and put something in place to where we don't need those? Because that's all they're doing. When they're repoing these things, all they're doing is protecting them reserve accounts so that they don't have to pull out of them and they can stay a certain level, because the IMF said these accounts have to stay at this certain level. If they fall below it, we're going to come in and we're going to help you out. And that's all they're doing is protecting those accounts. And it's killing our economy, just protecting Nostro Vostro accounts.
And what would you replace that with? What's the option?
XRP.
Okay.
Brad Garlinghouse has been saying it for years. Absolutely. We don't need that dormant capital. Absolutely, we don't.
Because of the speed of transactions, it's not necessary.
Absolutely.
Well, that could solve a lot of issues and maybe stave off a global crash if we're not careful in the process. Do you think that... do you think we're in a recession yet?
No. I think we're getting close. And I think that when we can't go to the grocery store and afford a gallon of milk, then we know definitely we've been in it. But I think that we're getting close to that point, but I don't think we're there yet. And that's the reason I don't think that the United States is in the hurry that everybody else is, because everybody else is trying to either break away from the U.S. dollar, or either they are trying to go ahead and fix their economy that they have been in a recession. Excuse me. So I think that inside the United States, they feel comfortable, they feel safe. And but it's getting ready to turn for the worst. And hopefully they see that and they open up and go ahead and move some of this stuff forward.
Well, there's so much to be said. The people that are in the know, we call whether they're at the Fed or wherever they are, IMF. I think they're scared right now, and they're really trying to rush forward to get something done before it's too late.
But you know what the problem is, though, don't you? They don't want you and I to get rich off of this. This is the first time in history. The first time in history that smart money. So they say smart money didn't lead the way. Mm-hmm. Every other stock in America, the big boys made all the money they can out of it. And once they've made all the money they can out of it, they open it up and allowed you and I to invest into it. This went 100% backwards. They allowed you and I to invest in it well before institutional money got involved in it. So they don't want us to get wealthy off of this. They're going to try to shake us out as long as they can. And that's what I try to explain to everybody. Keep your head on a swivel, because you never know when they're going to snatch the rug out from under you. When you think that this market is bullish, it takes one whale to come in here and flip this market upside down. Next thing you know, you've lost everything you got invested into it. Keep your head on a swivel and pay attention to what's going on, and don't listen to what they say, but watch what they do.
Well, some of that's going to come from tracking the money, so to speak. You know, they're
absolutely
when they have to know where each of your XRP has gone, where it's been, and where it stayed, where it came, when you got it, and so forth. That trackability is going to kind of mess things up a little bit, I think.
They don't want us to know where their money's going, where their money come from. They've been. I mean, it's no secret. The U.S. government has been some of the most crookedest people on the planet, and they do what they want to do when they want to do it, and don't care who it affects. And now they're fixing to be just as transparent as you and I, and they don't like that.
Well, I heard somebody say when it comes to your, you know, the following the money, so to speak, that they were afraid that in the next 6 months, even maybe a year, that having a nano would not be a good idea because you wouldn't be able to tell anybody where that money came from, where that cryptocurrency came from. Does that sound right to you?
No, that does not sound right to me because it's still digitally imprinted in the blockchain. And I mean, you're still going to be able to see, you're still going to be able to track it down to where it went to and how it got to your nano. So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
That's good. That's good. You know, I did this the other day on an interview, but I want to read something to you here if I could, James. And I do it because of what you've said here. Otherwise, I wouldn't pull it out. But it's a quote from a guy named Ray Dalio. He's the founder of Bridgewater. Uh-huh. And this was in a meeting at Yahoo Finance, I believe a couple of months ago. And I'm just going to take just some of his words and just read them out here and get your impression, okay?
Okay.
And Ray says, in my opinion, we're near the end in the late stages of a reserve currency system. It's a fiat monetary system. Not only do we have negative rates, but we are going to have much bigger deficits. And that's not half of the story, because the larger story is the unfundable liabilities. Those are pension liabilities and debt liabilities. What's your impression of what Ray has to say?
I think he's 100% correct. I think that they've been seeing this for a while. If you follow blockchain back, you can follow it backwards into the late 80s, early 90s, and you can see where they have been trying to implement this for a long time. I 100% believe that Bitcoin was a failed test. I always say this, and some people look at me like I'm crazy, but I really and truly, I think Bitcoin was a failed test. They wanted to see how it would work, if it would work, and then it come public and they were like, oh crap, what do we do now? Now it's done, the cat's out of the bag, what do we do? And once everybody started investing, it just went, it exploded. You started getting your exchanges built up. You started getting you and I invested into it. And I think they finally got it right as far as a monetary policy is something that could be a global reserve currency. And I'm not saying that XRP is going to be that global reserve currency, but I think that it's built well enough to have the capabilities to do so if need be. I think that they have other plans for it, but I'm 100% believe that we are coming out of that society and we're going to go into a cashless society, and we're not going to have the Nostro Vostro account sitting around holding dormant capital. We're not going to need all the banks in which we have today. The banking structure is going to look so different in the next 5 to 10 years that you won't even believe what it used to be compared to what it is. People like the age of my kids, they're never going to believe stories of some of the things that we've had to do to get money, go up to an ATM and get cash out of it. They're not going to believe this stuff when they just walk in here with their phones and, oh, I want that soda, click. They paid for the soda, and they're not going to understand what it was like to have a checkbook or anything along those lines. They've been sort of structuring us, pushing us that way for a while. And I think that we're in the end stages of it now. And I think it's all finally coming together and I think it's going to be better. It's going to fix a lot of things. I told you earlier that my wife is really big in our church, youth director for our church. And I've read the Bible a lot. I've read Revelations a lot. And there's a lot of these, a lot of these tracking chips that really and truly scare me. But it is what it is. It's going to where it's going, and I'm going to make sure that I'm able to support my family. So I want to make sure that I got my bags right in order to do so.
Well, I will finish up what Ray had to say at this conference. And I think this goes right along with the belief of the XRP community. Okay. The system doesn't work. It's gone mad. The reason the system is broken is because it's not an equal playing field. Now, that seems to go right along with so many people's statements that I've listened to over the last many months. What do you see the truth in that?
Absolutely. And Brad's Growing House has been saying it for years now. Also, we need a level playing field. We need to make sure that everybody's playing on the same field, and cryptocurrency is the way that that's going to make that happen. And I think that XRP is in the forefront of above and beyond all the rest of them that are out there.
They seem to have put the system in place, but working with a system that's already in place, not trying to completely reinvent the wheel. You spoke to me or earlier in the broadcast here about Stellar. And I'd like to, are you diversified in your crypto holdings?
I'm not. I started off being well diversified in it. And the more I dug into Ripple and XRP, I started seeing patterns of XRP and the XRP ledger's capabilities of doing what all these other cryptocurrencies are doing. So I had to sit back and I asked myself the same question in which I've heard a million times. Is it solving a real problem? Is it something that is solving a problem, or is it a solution looking for a problem? And there's a lot of cryptocurrencies that are just that. It's a solution that is looking for a problem to fix. And I don't think we need to go that route. I think we need to fix the problems in which we have. And I think that the more I look at XRP, the more I see its capabilities of actually doing that. I don't see the reason in holding Ethereum only because they're good at smart contracts, when we can put smart contracts on the XRP ledger, and we can also wait for the day for Codeus to come about also. I don't see why I need to invest in Basic Attention Token when XRP has Puma, and you can earn stakes on your money there also, on your monetization there also. I don't see the point in getting something like Steam and holding the Steam coin and using the Steam platform when we have Coral and web monetization there. So everything that I see all these other projects doing, you got pieces of puzzles all spread out through all of these cryptocurrencies. And then you have XRP that is like the whole puzzle put together. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Now in the Southeast, there's an upstart there, not really an upstart that much, but called Bolt. Mm-hmm. Have you followed Bolt and its role?
Not at all.
But one of the recommendations that one of our influencers gave us, and of course, Brad Kimes is really high on Stellar too. He thinks it's got a position because of the company that's behind it. So, you know, who knows for sure, right?
That's right. I'll be honest with you. Before I would go and put my money back into Stellar, I would really and truly follow Charles Hoskinson and invest in ADA. I think ADA is an amazing project. ADA has a lot of work left to do before it's ready to be used. But blockchain 3.0 is what they're kind of patenting themselves as blockchain 3.0. And I think they've come a long way. And I think that that's going to be a fantastic project once they get to that point.
Well, it's not going to be a one player game, as you said. There'll be several people in the marketplace to bring it all together. And that's just fine. Competition's good as long as it's clean competition. Do you have any advice? I know you're not a financial advisor. I know that you do this for pleasure and so forth. But do you have any recommendations outside of the ADA that you'd like to pass on while you're on here today?
I don't have but a handful of projects that I'm even interested in. ADA is one of them. I'm trying to dig into Vet to see if there's something there that I like. I have not found anything in that project that I like yet, but I'm digging, trying to see what it'll do. But I mean, realistically, I've put so much time, so much effort towards XRP that there's a lot of them that I can't even tell you what they are, or how they work, or what they're trying to achieve. But I mean, as far as the best advice that I would give anybody in this space is really and truly, don't take what I say, don't take what you say, or any other person on YouTube. Don't take what we say to the bank. Make sure that you dig in and make sure that you really understand what it is you're investing in before you put a penny into it. Understand what it is, what it does, how it works, who's the people that are working on it, who are the people that you're investing in, and make sure that you understand all of that before you put a dollar into this space.
That's good advice, not only because I don't know about you, but I only have so many dollars that I can invest any of these areas. And I, if I distribute it around too much, I don't really have much of anything in anything. So you got to take a chance and put your money where you think it will do the most good as far as your future benefit. James, it's been great chatting with you today. I just want to know, as we wrap, would you like to say anything to the XRP army out there that you serve so well?
Hey guys, this, as always, man, love God, love others, and serve both. We may not have it all together, but together we can have it all. If there's somebody out there that don't understand something, don't bash them for it. Pick them up. Let's help each other grow. Let's help each other learn and make our way through this thing. None of us are perfect. None of us know it all. And 90% of the time, most of us don't know what's accurate. So pick each other up, lift each other up. Let's learn together. Let's work through this thing together, because these are the times we're going to remember forever. These are the times we're going to love when our investment pays off. So remember the people that's beside you, and pick them up and bring them with you. I always love everybody in the XRP community. Got nothing but love and respect for everybody. And I hope y'all had a good day.
That's excellent. Excellent. James, thank you again so much for being on today. As you can see, James has his heart where his pocketbook is as well, because he does care about everyone that's in the crypto area, crypto space, and especially XRP folks. So that love and appreciation is well accepted and appreciated by everybody in the community. James, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for being on today. And folks, next time, our next episode on XRP Army News, we hope to bring you another influencer that will bring you some of their insights, some of their personal life, and some of the things that they know will help you make money. Till next time, have a good day. Bye-bye.